Hi, I'm Sue Brayton, and this is my lovely granddaughter, Hannah. Today, we're going to read to you from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Where are we reading, Hannah?
Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25.
So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out the good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
Hi, everybody. Good to be with you. Happy Mother's Day. If we haven't met before, my name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team, and I'll be sharing today. Having already heard from Bethany, we're going to hear another reflection on motherhood in just a few moments from Laverne, which is very fitting in our Essential series as we are focusing for a number of weeks on the Holy Spirit. And I say it's fitting because Laverne is one of those examples of someone who has spent a lifetime letting the Holy Spirit direct her. And when it comes to fruit, I think that Laverne is probably one of the most nutritious trees among us. And so we're going to hear from her in just a few moments. Today, we're going to talk about nutrition and fruit. We're going to talk about what we just heard a moment ago in that passage from Sue and from Hannah. How does the produce of a life with God's Spirit turn up in us and through us? As it's Mother's Day, maybe a parenting picture to begin will help. Anyone who's gone on a walk with a toddler, maybe you're a parent or a caregiver, anyone who's gone on a walk with a toddler at all knows the importance of guidance when crossing the street. The early lessons and language are familiar. Hold my hand as we cross the street. We always hold hands when we cross the street. Keep holding my hand until we get to the other side of the street. Good job. Thank you for holding my hand as we cross the street. It's very important that you do that. You must always listen. Day after day, we repeat the lesson. And there's usually a time, which can feel like a very long time, when a child will fight against or refuse the guidance. But then one day, the little hand starts to slip into your hand a little more readily as you usher them across a busy road. They've learned to trust the importance of being led. And it has become their modus operandi. Well, you know, for most of the time. Usually there's some back and forth, right? Children follow in the steps of their parents or caregivers. And that's not a bad picture to begin with when we open to the book of Galatians and imagine life under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, Paul often emphasizes our relation to God as children over against other, maybe parenting forces to which we might cling. And that might take some getting used to, because when we talk about the results or the fruit of something, we often connect that first to human effort. A business produces a profit because of the work done by the owners. The results of a body getting healthy are from the hard work that's put in to diet and exercise. But when Paul describes how godly fruit is produced in our life, he doesn't begin with, well, just put your back into it and try to be more peaceful or more patient or more kind. He doesn't assume that trying harder will produce the kind of fruit that we hope to see resulting from God's eternal influence. Paul's controlling metaphors of being parented by the Spirit, or sometimes being rooted, always have to do with God's action before it has to do with human action. For Paul, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives begins with belonging to and letting ourselves be led by God's Spirit, just as children belong and are led. If we don't start there, we actually put the cart before the horse, to mix another metaphor in just to have some fun. The first word to notice when speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, and in Galatians in general, is Paul's emphasis on our belonging to Jesus. We're reminded throughout Galatians that Christians are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, Galatians is often referenced when speaking about belonging with Jesus and therefore with each other and what that means for equality and equity. No matter our sex, ethnic background, no matter our socioeconomic background, we are all children at the table set by Jesus, and we are made to belong. And this, of course, is deeply important, especially as the problems of racism and sexism are being pointed out more freely and more openly, and rightly so. In the family of Jesus, there is no room for either racism or sexism. And though we shouldn't be surprised to find these things rearing their ugly heads around us, we should never be complacent about recognizing their reality and letting God heal what is broken between us. That said, what makes belonging with one another possible is first belonging to Jesus. In our day and age, many don't mind hearing about belonging with one another, or even belonging with God. But we get a bit spiky when we hear the Christian distinction that we only belong because we belong to Jesus. Yet, without this essential foundation, our faith falls apart. A Christian community is one which believes it has been made and is not self-made, meaning that we are the created beings, not the creator. And when we follow that through to Jesus, we hear the gospel really clearly. Jesus has resuscitated us from death to life, which is only possible through the action of God and not our action. So we can't be Christian without becoming comfortable with the fact that we don't own our lives and that all of our action is first reliant on God's action. That proves vital, actually, to Paul's argument when it comes to what to expect the Holy Spirit to produce in our lives. He says something like, because you are God's children, because you belong to Jesus, therefore. The other thing we should notice about the word belonging is what we began with last week. it's essential to hear that when Paul and others in the New Testament speak about the Holy Spirit, they're speaking about Jesus' Spirit. The command to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives in Galatians 5 is none other than to remember the command that we belong to Jesus. So we needn't be worried, all to say, about a different kind of character or God coming through our experience of the Holy Spirit. We should expect everything of Jesus to flow from daily life with his Spirit. And that needs to be said, I think, when a lot has been made of the distinctions between Father, Son, and Spirit. But the distinctions have nothing to do with three different temperaments or characteristics of God, and mostly to do really with the ways in which we speak about God in the first place. Sometimes we can be tempted to believe that God the Father is powerful, that Jesus is kind, and the Spirit is mysteriously unpredictable and kind of spooky, and that never the three shall meet. Well, not so. Not at all. The same character that we see in Yahweh, Israel's God, is in Jesus and also in the Spirit that Jesus sends. So the point is just to say that the Holy Spirit belongs to Jesus. So when we're asking for a filling or a direction from the Holy Spirit, Jesus is behind that. In short, if you're into Jesus, then his Spirit with us is very, very good news. It's nothing to be afraid of. And there's more where Jesus came from, we could say. So those are a couple of thoughts about that word belonging that we see in the book of Galatians. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit to turn up, we must first come to grips with the fact that we belong to Jesus and affirm that belonging by giving way to the direction of his Spirit. As we hear in Galatians, it's not always that simple. Which leads us to the other word that we should notice in Galatians when talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is letting. Now is probably a really good time to maybe return to that picture of the toddler who's crossing the street with a parent or a caregiver. In the passage we heard, it's clear that there's something like a tug of war between God's Spirit in us and what Paul calls our sinful nature. By this, he means that even though we belong to Jesus, that we are still given to being influenced by other forces or even parented by other forces because of the sway that sin and death still have in the world in which we live as we wait for the consummation for Jesus to return. So there's a choice that we face consciously at least several times a day to give way to God's Spirit to guide and produce fruit, or to give way to other forces which will in the end produce the same sin leading to death from which Jesus has resuscitated us. That might sound a little bit like what we hear from Paul in Romans and in Ephesians. Don't conduct yourself like a dead person when Jesus has made you alive. Live like a living person. Don't live like a dead person. The trouble is, we don't usually walk around thinking in those terms. That moment to moment, we're either giving way to God's Spirit or giving way to sin and death. We don't often think that that's what's going on. We think that we're in control when we do what we want and call it freedom. And Paul would disagree with that. He calls it a struggle. But you know, in our society, we've taken to believe that if it feels good in the moment, we should do it, and therefore we're really being us when we simply follow our impulses. Paul would ask, but who or what is giving direction to those impulses? And when we look at the list of what comes following the influence of what Paul would call a sinful nature, we hear a lot of things that look like a life gone off the rails. Fits of rage, envy, hatred, discord, drunkenness, sexual immorality. A pervading sense of what we see there is a life dangerously out of control, out of the hands of the person living it, actually. So for Paul, there is, as we said, this kind of tug of war, and we're always giving way to a parenting force one way or the other. His argument then is to remember who we truly belong to and to let God's Spirit as parent do the guiding, because we're always being guided or parented by something. And the best guidance, the best parenting comes from the one who made us in the first place and knows who we really are. And giving way to that guidance and parenting, we should say, doesn't mean we're any less ourselves. Just as a child giving way to good parenting makes her any less herself. In nature versus nurture language, we could say that as maker, God knows best the being that he has created and is working to nurture us into ourselves more fully through the close daily guidance of the Holy Spirit. So letting or giving way is the right place to start, which coupled with our action, human action of following willingly, produces the kind of character or fruit that we see in Jesus, the person that we really belong to. We could say a lot more about the fruit of a life parented by the Spirit and what that looks like. But when we're hoping to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit turn up, maybe we could say this in closing. Maybe we need to worry less about the results. When we emphasize the produce over the process, we miss the point. We'll not get to one without the other. So one of the things we could say coming out of this passage from Galatians is less trying, more letting. Less trying to be good and patient and kind, and more letting the guidance of the Holy Spirit daily fill us in our lives and to see curiously what is produced out of that. And then to be encouraged at the same time by looking around at the lives around us which have given way and are giving way to the Holy Spirit and noticing what turns up. What turns up? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. This is the character of God among us as seen through the lives of the people around us. We'll close today with a couple of simple questions before we hear from Laverne, who, as I said earlier, is really a tree full of fruit. Here's a couple of questions. The first is this. Have we come to grips with who we really belong to? Have we come to grips with who we really belong to? We might be comfortable with belonging with Jesus. How comfortable are we with the statement, I belong to Jesus, and therefore I need to live under the guidance of Jesus' Spirit? The second question is this one, looking at the fruit or the produce or the results of our life, is simply asking this question. As we reflect on that image of the toddler being ushered across the street, I just ask this question connected to that picture. Whose hand are we holding daily? Whose hand are we holding daily? And maybe when we think about Galatians 5 and the work of the Spirit, we can hear actually the voice of the Holy Spirit say something a little bit like this. Here, child, give me your hand. Safely now, across the street. Now, if you've met Laverne Tischer before, You know how wonderful she is. If you haven't, here is someone who has spent a lifetime taking and trusting the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. And we asked Laverne, because it's Mother's Day, what does motherhood mean to you?
When I first heard that question and knew you were going to ask that, Luke, I really sat down and thought, what does it mean? And I had probably an hour's worth of thoughts on that. But I think to distill it down, number one, it means responsibility. Because I knew as a professional teacher and global worker that my life would change forever. It was not going to be the same, no matter how I juggled professional and being a wife and then looking after a little one. So I made up my mind, this is what I want, and took on that responsibility. God's character, I think, is shown in many ways as a mother. Jesus even said in Luke, oh, Jerusalem, how I wish I could gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her, but you wouldn't. And that's part of motherhood, this concern for your children and their well-being and just agonizing when they don't make the right choices, they don't go the right way. It's interesting to think how the psalmist David focused on that. He focused a lot on God as almighty and the army, the warrior, but he also focused on how God relates to us as a mother. You know, Psalm, I think 133 says, as a weaned child rests on its mother, so the Lord is going to comfort Israel. And when I think of that comfort aspect that a mom gives her kids, it's God's comfort for us. And a lot of people don't really focus on that. They don't realize that God loves them. He rejoices over them. He sings over them. And I remember singing over our little guys in their cribs. Our little son, Gordon, was 15 months. And we were expecting our second child because we were global workers in a very primitive area of West Africa. And we wanted two close together so they would be friends and companions. But I kept saying to my husband, Herb, this child has the funniest way of kicking. There's kicks here and kicks here. And then the doctor was concerned because I was really gaining a lot of weight. There were no ultrasounds, no incubators, nothing really for small babies, but he decided to take an x-ray at 7 months, and he said, there's another little one in behind here. Well, was I surprised? Yes, although with this very large gain of weight and these funny kicks, it wasn't exactly unexpected. Now, Herb and I had a code because he was up country and we worked on the two-way radio. And if it was twins, I was to say to him, because I was down at the coast in the Mission Hospital, I was to say to him, I'm hale and hearty. If it was not twins, then that wouldn't come up. So, hi, Herb, how are you doing? Guess what? I'm hale and hearty. Dead silence for a minute. You are? So, yeah, that was our introduction to our twins. And the Lord blessed in an amazing way as they were born and protected both our daughter and me. And that increased my responsibilities triplefold. I would think never, never, never give up. Keep on praying for that child. Keep on encouraging that child. Keep on loving that child and just expecting God to do great things in that child's life.